after the Rosh Yeshiva speaks. The program will be moved up just a little bit. So those of you who are concerned about the hour and what the original program was, be not concerned. We'll daven mincha, I promise you. B'tzibur. There is a lot to say if we had to do a proper introduction, but I'm afraid that I will not say enough if I attempt it. So as a result, I'm going to make a very brief introduction. Whatever we have been able to learn from a professional, it is all bebchinas chochma yesh bagoyim, but in order to be able to hear Torah, we're going to hear it from Rosh Yeshiva. And this program certainly has a balance of both. The purpose of the Rosh Yeshiva's coming is to balance that which we've heard from the professional, the Chochma Yesh Bagoyim, with the Torah Yesh B'Yisrael, V'Shaloi Tehei Torah Shleima Shalonu, V'Chulu. I'll let you finish that yourselves. Without further ado, I want to introduce the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Feinstein.
Chairman, the passive, Haverai. I read in the paper, in the introduction, that the purpose of my address is to give the psiche to this conference, whose purpose is, and I'm quoting this, to increase sensitivity to and foster greater involvement with the issue of emotional development of our Talmidim. Basically, there's a din about Avedis Rabbi Kedemis, when you have father and a Rebbe both lose something, and a Talmud child has to be Isaac in finding it. The din is that he has to be Isaac first in the Avedis Rabbi before the Aveda of his father. And the Gemara gives a reason for this, because the father brings him to Chaye Ho'ilam Hazeh, and the Rebbe brings him to Chaye Ho'ilam Haba. Yet there's an additional din, that if the father is a Talmud Chacham, even maybe not as big as the Rebbe, Afal Pikein, his Aveda becomes priority to the Aveda of the Rebbe. Now, if this is true, we have a kasha. We know that one of the obligations that a father has to his child is to teach him Torah. It's one of the things. The Mishnah in Kedushin says so. If that's true, why doesn't his Torah that the father is required to teach his child elevate him l'chalapoches to this a little bit beyond the Chayei Ho'ilam Hazeh and give him the preference to the Aveda of the Rebbe, which we said before, if the father was a Talmud Chochmi, would have that preference? We must therefore answer that there are two Torahs in the world. There's a Torah Ve'ilam Hazeh and there's a Torah Ve'ilam Haboh. The chiyuv of a father is not just to bring a child into this world, even though we know yimekayim mitzvah pirya v'rivya, but that's not the purpose. Once you bring him into this world, you have to bring him l'chayei ha'olam hazeh. It's not a job to give him life. You have to teach him how to live life of olam hazeh, to enjoy olam hazeh. And that requires that you give him a panosah. It requires you find him a wife. And it also requires that you teach him Torah. What do I mean by teaching him Torah? If he, first of all, there are oinshim involved if you don't live up to Torah. There are factors that you do not become socially viable if you don't live up to Torah. So therefore, there's a chiyuv for a father to make sure that his child will grow up with proper values and so on. But that's for chayei ha'olam hazeh, not for chayei ha'olam haba. It also happens to enjoy life. If you ask Taki Yeshiva Man, and most of them, all of you remember, I'm sure even the women to a certain extent, the joy of their husbands and so on. I don't think there's any simcha that any professional can have as much as the Ben Teira has when he's Metaratz Rambam. And this comes daily.
When somebody is involved, he has sveikus in his mind, he works out a shita, he comes out to say a grita chabura, it doesn't make a difference if the Rebbe gives him a glet or a shvach, what a wonderful kasha, fantastic kasha, machaven to an akivege, whatever the particular case is, the child or the grown-up feels tremendously fulfilled. And this happens, as far as professional goes, rarely. When he hits something, taka, that goes, that he feels it, that's when he can feel it. Aber ben Teire, someone who's oisik in Teire, feels this tug teglach. Every single day, it's possible that he has this feeling. It gives him something to be involved with his friends. One of the greatest things that are accomplished by the Daf Yemi is not so much whether we learn Teire. I'm not belittling it in any way. But it made it possible that two people traveling together have something to talk about. When you get into an elevator and you start and you see somebody, a neighbor from the other floor, and you feel self-conscious not talking to him, what do you start talking about? The weather, it's nice outside, it's cold outside, and you hopefully that the elevator is going to get there a little faster because you ran out of talking about it. It happened to be a beautiful day for the last 10 days and there's nothing to be massive on it. You can be talking about other things. You'll talk about the newspaper or something, especially some politics, maybe a good sports story, something. Just simply to pass time and not to feel awkward. Teire gave this. That whenever two yidden get together, they have something to talk about. A good vort, a pshat, and a daf yemi, something. And therefore, memela, they enjoy the traveling. They have something to talk about. They feel, and not only do they feel, the mizok, the stomach, I spend some time, mizok, the pastime, they feel takimit epesuf kiton eichet, which is a tremendous zach. So basically, this is a very pleasant oilam hazeh. I'm not talking about oilam haba, Rabbi. So this is oilam hazeh. You have now enjoyed this life. That's the father's chiv. Vakert, the Rebbe comes in with a different job. That's to bring the Talmud to l'chaye ha'olam habo. That's not so pleasant anymore. We don't let this child waste this time. We have to nudge him. We have to bring him out. We have to cultivate him. We have to try and bring him to use his keches to the ultimate madrega that he can use him to. That's the chiv of a Rebbe to the Talmud. And that already, as I say, that's kunz mit nizhirai. That comes with homework, that comes, I'm over the pachamol, or I'm all yelling, or whatever the particular case is, I'm not going into corporal punishment or not. But lemaise, this was a thing that there's methods how to use it. There are in Yonim, to me mechazik the Talmud, there are in Yonim, to me kav of the Talmud, merachik the Talmud, criticize him, praise him. I mean, these are all methods used to be able to get the gres de keches out of the child. But our chiyuv is to get the gres de keches out of this child. We don't become putter from this job. We can't say, you know, I'm a second grade rabbi, third grade rabbi, fifth grade rabbi, or I'm an LMM in elementary school, I'm an IL of an elementary or a high school, and my job ends over there. It's not true. Once you're mekabel this Talmud as a Talmud, your job continues, you're not putter from it, until the shalheves is oilam eileho, until the child's flame, he can continue on his own in all these things that you've set into him. That other things that you've set the fire a little bit in it, but it has to be take hold that he can build on it himself in time. Until that time, you're responsible to answer his needs. One of the tragedies of children going to Eretz Yisrael in the when they reach about 18, 19 years old, and it's a very good desach for some and it's fantastic for others, it's really wonderful. But there's a big problem for others, and that's that they're not a Rebbe. They don't have no Rebbeim. They remain in the yeshiva, most yeshivas are already settled into a project of that we're only interested in producing them a year or two after high school. Memela, I have no commitment to this child to tell him Eitz is how to live his life. I haven't got any commitments to him. He comes to Eretz Yisrael, he enters the yeshiva for a year or two. There is no commitment on that Rebbe to be mekabel him as a Talmud. And all it is he is a lecturer. He gives shiurim, but he has no attachment to it. He comes back and he goes to another yeshiva, which unfortunately is already older in the halter shadavshinit ken rebbe. At that point, he has no rebbe again. And so far, good Baruch Hashem, till 24, 25, 26, maybe there are no major problems. That even though shiduchim, you probably got a lot of problems to feel a guy through. Aber lemaisa, let's assume that Baruch Hashem, alts gegangen glatt for this guy. But when it comes to decisions of megema papa nosse, how to take, is my prestige involved? Where will I steig the most? Where will I have the best thing? Where will I accomplish most of my life with my keches and so on? Who does he turn to? Is he going to go to somebody that spoke to him for about 15 minutes and he's going to make a major decision on his life, Eitze? Or is he going to have somebody that knows him, that's worked with him, that horvit with him, that loves him, and whatever it is that he can have this feel? And this is one of the big problems that we have. See, the Talmidim don't feel it, and I don't even know if the parents really feel this thing. Now, again, the job of the father, I'm just putting this in there because I'm not only talking about the gute kinder. The job of the father is chayel mazeh. The Rebbe's job takes over after that. After we have this pleasant life and wonderful things that Torah gives him, the Rebbe now tries to develop this to the utmost ability. Of course, we come across many children that the parents didn't give this step into it. He doesn't have that first step. So all of a sudden, the Rebbeim become in place of the father. We're going to make him frum. We're going to teach him Shabbos. We're going to teach him kashrus. We're going to teach him this. This is the pleasant parts of life. We're going to give him some purpose in life, some commitment to things, tzedakah, other values that he doesn't have from the home. But unfortunately, in most cases, we say that's enough. He has the background, he's not going to move it, the steigen, where he's going to go, he's no. All of a sudden, we ourselves put a stop on that thing, and that's not our job. We must remember, we are not fathers, we are rebbeim. Our job is to make a shalheves oyle me'aleo. You can't make a shalheves oyle me'aleo if the Talmud doesn't even have the basic zach of oyle mazeh. So first, there's a prerequisite, I have to teach him chay oyle mazeh. But after that, I don't stop until I teach him chay oyle mabo. Now, not every child gives you the chance, that's true. Kids will quit on you. You have this by parents. Children don't listen to their parents either, not every time. But that doesn't mean that the parent doesn't try to keep giving aitzes and helping and to trying to find ways that to find the child, to help the child. The male of the Rebbe has the same chiyuvim. The child doesn't always listen to the Rebbe, just like he doesn't listen to the father. But it doesn't patter the Rebbe from that commitment that he made for him on the day that he accepted him as a Talmud, that commitment to him, he must continue until he shall have a shalom eilel. And I say, this doesn't make a difference what kind of Talmud. I think I'll mention it at the end, maybe. Now, okay, this is our chiyuv. Now, how do we have to go about it? I'm not giving that. I know this is the exclusive method. This is the method of Rosh Hashiva taught me. So I can only work with that. Rashi, on the word of Bahaloischa, mentions 2 points. And they're not and or. They are both. I mean, they're not or. They are and. One of them was that Ashalheves Eilem Eileho. And the second thing was that there has to be a step in front of the menorah. Now he asked, why do you need a step in front of the menorah? The menorah, I feel like Achumah de Geshir of 24 inches to the Amah, is 6 feet. A short coin, 5 foot, can take a taper. And he puts his hand out, and he'll be able to light it. Why do you need a step? How short would a kehanim that you have to have a step for them? And I think Lemaisa, it comes out 3 steps according to kehanim, most cheetahs. That's the thing. So he said, since the chiyuv is atcha shalheves oyle me'aleho, the chiyuv of the kohen is to look down into the cups, into the menorah, to see what it could be ma'akiv, the fire from the shalheves oyle me'aleho. Are there any shmorim? Are there any blackness? And that's why they had by tovas haneiros. That's one of the most important. Why tovas haneiros is so important, because before you can light it, you have to first cleanse everything that could possibly stop the lighting. So we have to first analyze the Talmidim when we're going to try and teach him. We have to remove from them anything that can possibly block the fire taking hold in them. How do you, first, before we can take away the things that are ma'akif, you have to first find out what the problem is. Now, first, you have to know the situation, kipshuta. A lot of times, we have a tendency to be down the kafshchus. And a Rebbe doesn't have that head, though, or a leader. Now, the Vikuach, Rosh Hashiva, I used to always say, it was the Vikuach between Moshe and Yeshua when they come down from Har Sinai, and the eagle is being served, and Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't tell Yeshua that's what's happening. Yeshua says, "Kol anois mechama nechishimeya." I hear a noise of war, and therefore, he's saying, "What do we do about it?" And Moshe Rabbeinu turns around to him and he says, "Leikar Nisgivur Chalusha, Leikar Nisgivur." I don't remember which one comes first. But I didn't bring a chumash with me, unfortunately. I don't hear a sound of victory. I don't hear a sound of defeat. War carries that sound with it. Therefore, all you can say is "Kol Anois Anechi Shemeya." All I hear is a noise, because then you can analyze it. You can't dan lekav schus and say, "What could possibly be this noise? It must can't be possibly Aveda Zorah, so it must be war." You can't do that. You're going to be a leader of Kol Yisrael. You have to analyze the situation as is. What is the problem here? And therefore, to find the problem, you first have to see what is this. What do you see? What do you hear? And all you hear is "Kol Anois." Ah, you don't understand it? Fine, we'll go vital and see what it is that could be causing that noise. But don't make any conclusions until you have real rayas to that conclusion. A second thing, you have to also understand what is the true problem of the child. He used to say, why is, you know, the first mitzvah, mishpatim, is Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri comes because someone stole money from somebody else. Now, it's a little bit kashy. I mean, Klal Yisrael is in Parshas Yisrael at the highest madrege. They just will make Kabbal the Torah. They listen, they're trying to elevate themselves in Ruchnius to the highest madrege. And the first mitzvah that comes in afterwards, the next Seder, is Geneva. Doesn't make sense. He used to say that the reason that the Geneva comes in, because Geneva is not always a Yetzirah. I've had that Yetzirah, I'd like to have money. First of all, that goof fit, you have to know. This I'll tell you from my own young days, from when I had a friend that always was looking for money. I used to ask him, "What do you need money for?" He said, "Because I want to buy a car." I said, "What do you want a car for?" "So I can be a big shot with the girls." I said, "Okay, that I understand." He says, "No, you don't understand me. I want to be a big shot with the girls so my friends will envy me." The ultimate thing that he had was that his friends will envy him. It had nothing to do with all these steps before. How did he get to that point? We started with money and car and girls, and all for the envy of the friends. That's what he wanted. He wanted that chinet he wanted to have. Here again, as I say, there's a yitzhahor b'yetzim for money. He likes what money can buy. But he said, but if the person would be a true maimon, and we believe that Rosh Hashanah, the Rabbeinu Shalom, decrees what we're going to have during the year. And if we believe that, then l'chayre, we can't feel that we can take Baal Kochi, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to give me Berot. If it was decreed that I will have it anyway. And true, if I take it Baal Kochi, I'll take it with Geneve, I won't get it Beheta, because it didn't tell me how I'm going to get it. The Rabbeinu Shalom said I can have it. Aber am I say if you would work or you would have a maton, however the Rabbeinu Shalom would stel zachoyz the hetel de geifen, you would have had it that way. But you didn't wait or whatever it is, and you thought you're going to chap a rein, you're not chapping a rein. If the Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't want you to have it, you're not going to have it anyway. And if he wanted you to have it, you'd have it anyway. So if that's the case, if you truly believe that, you can't possibly have a Yetzirah for any mammonistic achet. You can't be Michal Shabbos for work. You can't do all these things. Why? Because you're maimon HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I can't take Baal Koch away. He doesn't want to give me. El of us, I don't believe it. Okay, you don't believe it. So the first thing I have to work on is not on your taivas hamamin. I have to work on your munen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the pshat is that you got to understand that this is your problem. Second thing, I'm going to have the union of Shegeg is Chum Mezid. We always have the concept that Shegeg is less. Except in the Shemun Esra, it's interesting. It puts Mechila before Slicha. Usually Mechila is for the great one. There's a lot of the before Shemun, the Klal Shailas of what it is, and there's Machlek in the Gemara, which one comes first. But basically, Shogeg is slicha, meaning, you know, the Israelis, slicha, you bunk into somebody, you didn't mean it, hey, you know, excuse me. You don't mean excuse me, he doesn't mean that to be makpid, but you want something at least nice that you're not a grubber yung of what he called, so you say some kind of a nice lotion to make it pass, but nobody's really makpid over there. That's slicha also. In other words, a person didn't mean to do an aveira, it was by shaygig. Was by accident, he didn't, unfortunately didn't get to learn it yet, or he was makpid, whatever, I mean, he forgot it, whatever it is. Yeah. Slicha, that's one way of learning. Mezid, already needs a mechila. I did an avera kineged HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tzayini ha'toiv. True, I had taivas for it. I had other things. Abba l'maisa, I went kineged Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For that already, someone has to say, I forgive you. Not enough to say, forget it. I have to forgive you. There's a mechila. And then there's the one of kapora, which is a revolt against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There already you need already with onshim and other things that come on. It doesn't come so easy. There are times, though, that a shoygeg will require mechile, and a mezid will require a slicha. Why? Because somebody who put up the good fight, mamish yuskevish yitzchoy, and he fought, and he couldn't hold out anymore, and he gave in. It's a terrible tragedy, no question about it. But knowing his fight, knowing what effort he put in to not to be choyte, Amol Rabbeinu Shalom could say, Solachti. I understand, and whatever it is, there's Solachti. But then there's the Shoigeg. As I said, he forgot, or he didn't get to learn it yet. That's true. The Yeshiva Bocher, that's Horving, Tog and Nacht, on to learn as much as he can, and so on. He hasn't reached yet certain things. Nuk, Kemim Zog, Slicha. Aber, somebody who says, hey, what's going on? Go to Yeshiva? I don't want to go yet for another 2 weeks. We have 2 weeks off. Let's go do this, do this. Never wants to sit down. He's not interested to know what the Kaddish Baruch Hu's Ratzon is. He has no interest. He doesn't care. That needs mechila already. That's not just a slicha already. That's not caring for the tzivu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rebbein Shem, if we believe the Madrega, if we don't believe that that's the Rebbein Shem, then of course we're still step zero. But if we believe, and we still are able to say, I don't care, that's an inyan that requires mechila. And then you can't just let Talmidim, just because they're seemingly good Talmidim, develop by themselves. And you have this Takya, one of the Afteris brings down, that the Tam that Adeni Yo was not Royal Malchus, was obviously a Machlekis if Adeni Yo was Royal Malchus or not. Yoyov and Adyosa Akoyin held that he was Royal Malchus, on the other hand, Nosna Novi, and Tzodik Akoyin and the Geboirim held he was not Royal Malchus. And Taylor tells a reason somehow that I'm not 100% sure of the Lushin again, about that his father, David HaMelech, never was mitztayer him, miyomov, to ask him, Loma Kochaz of Asiso, something like that. Why do you do this? What's Pshat? And it says, it says, it was toyar ma'od. That's the lashon that he uses. Now, the lashon that Rashi brings down by Rochel on toyar and mare, he brings down two different definitions in the word. Toyar is the parts of ponim, that's the physical. And mare would be ziv klester. In other words, somehow the charm, I guess you would call it, or something else, the non-physical part of it. Even though obviously that's also physical, you don't find when both the shayness are used that you are teiv toyav and teiv mare moed. That's no such thing. You teiv toyav mare, teiv toyav and teiv mare. Sayan, if a toyav and teiv mare, it's a sayan Yosef and sayan Rochel. And Rivke, it says if a mare, if as mare moed, and Adonio, it says if a toyav moed. Basically, you can't find it that the teira is talking about the physical attributes. I mean, even though the Sechet Efshir, I'm sure, was also true, but that's not necessarily the purpose of the Torah, to put down the physical attributes of the Emois, or even of Yosef HaTzadik. It's how a person performs. There are outward deeds, and there are deeds that you don't necessarily amakya, unless you really look for them. There's the person, most people usually are both. Somebody, let's say, is makbid in davening. And let's say 7:30 comes a davening, because that time guys always have an issue. 7:30 is a davening. 90% of the time, the bach will be there on time. 10% of the time, he'll be coming running in the last second there. And I think, so somehow, if you look at this bach in that way, he's always there on time. And the few times that he's not there on time, he comes running in, and whatever it is, you see, he cares about davening. What about this fellow that's always there before? Somehow, it's not nikya in him, this grace is Jesus. Maybe he couldn't sleep. Maybe the reason he's always there, he has his day, his morning starts a little early. It's not a din of necessarily as a hilus and tefillah. On the other hand, there's the one who's always late. He's always putting in with that thing. He's always the last second. It looks like he's the fastest, the best dissolvers in the world. But he's never on time. That's the thing. Toya is the show. Therefore, most people, I say, sometimes it's a show. The show is Megala on when it's not a show. But if a person is all show, he's Toya Me'oid, that's all it is, the physical, the outside, that's all it looks, you got a problem. You don't know why he is that way anymore. On the other hand, Mare Me'oid, you don't know it either. But it happened to be Rivka had to do with Mare Me'oid because she had to live with Lavan and Suel and all the, and they would not have appreciated the fact that she was a Tzidkonius. So therefore, on her, it's an interesting thing that Torah has to say, V'ishlo yidor. I mean, can I stand on the imoyis, but I've zogna zazach. V'ishlo yidor, I have mean otherwise. But the pshat is, you know, Lavan and the Suel thought she was a goody-goody. She couldn't say no. Whatever a guy needs, whatever he asks, that she comes across. That they could tolerate. No, I'm sure she'll learn a lesson, she'll get older, she'll know that she doesn't want to be treated this way. But meanwhile, she's a goody-goody, not because she knows what's right or wrong. Doesn't make sense. So the Torah tells you, klov, ishlo yidor. It has nothing to do with having to help, to listening to others and doing what they want or whatever it is. It has to do because she knows what's right and wrong. And she did this chesed because she knows what chesed is. I'm not going to go into the parasha what the chesed is here. But basically, that's why she did it. But she had to live that way because if she didn't, obviously she couldn't exist in love in some Suel's house. So she was a mare ma'ot. But a normal person is not that. Now, when somebody is good, constantly this way, he always seems to be doing the right thing. The Rebbe, the Tatis, somebody has to ask him, why are you such a good boy? Don't you ever have a Yetzer Hara to do Kenega the Rebbe? Don't you ever care to be like the Wilde guys in the class? Why are you so nice? Maybe it's because you're such a big Balgaivnik. You want the Rebbe to put you up and say, I want everybody in this class to be like Yankel, because Yankel is such a fine person. And he gets such a kick out of that, and such a grace hanoya out of that. He doesn't care if he has to suffer and never revolt against anything else, because that's where what he wants. He wants to be held up to shame everybody else in the class. That's not a very nice mita. And there's a lot of other things you can analyze with this thing. I'm not going to go on. But basically, that's the inyan of we have to criticize and to find out why is somebody good. Not enough to see that he's good and forget about it. Baruch Hashem, the squeaky wheel gets all the oil. They're all squeaky wheels. These are ways, I say, that you remove a little bit the stuff that's blocking the lighting. Now, how do we get the light to take hold? The first thing, you have to give a child confidence in himself that he can. Now we see that there's such a mile of confidence, a fantastic raya. It says, Reuven, Ilu Yoda Reuven, that the Torah would have written about him, that he wanted to save Yosef, he would have carried him out on his shoulder. Let's understand, why didn't he carry him out on his shoulder? He didn't want to kill him. He felt he was right, not allowed to kill Yosef. The brothers disagreed with him. But when he took a look around at him, and he saw Dochtenstedt Shimon, and Levi, and Yehuda, and all the others, all of a sudden, I can't beat them. Where's your confidence? You're right. Obviously, you're tzicha. No, I'm not so right. I made an error already before by Yankif Avinu. It's not so push it that I know what's right or wrong. I believe I'm right. Of Rafael became that I believe I'm right, I take a look what my opposition is. And I haven't got the keches to overcome that opposition. Not physical keches. I can't bring myself to oppose them. But Ilu Yoda Reuven, that the Torah agreed with him, immediately he would have been able to withstand Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, so all the rest of them. It didn't make a difference to him. Where's he going to get that physical strength? But obviously you've got a physical strength from the confidence that a person has. In Emerson, it's not hard. That part I don't think is hard. First of all, a child has to understand, you can talk to him. What does the Torah really expect from you? I mean, now we only have Gedolim, the five best kids in the class, they're the Gedolim Yisrael, everybody else is not. That's the way it works. If we have Taki Rayas to this, Me'elef Nichnas, and only one goes out. That's not true. That's a fact in the end of ultimate problems and things that exist. Ben Etzem, the Rabbeinu Shalom, said that it's possible that I want Kol Am Hashem Nevi'im. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said, Halavai, but the Torah told it them distinctly. I want you to go and tell Klal Yisrael, I want Mamleches Kehanim Goy Kodesh. I expect from them everyone to be a possible leader in Klal Yisrael. Everyone has that potential. They're bigger leaders, bigger Balikishin. If everyone grows out to his ultimate Madrege, you're right. There are people you may not be needed. And there's a Ma'aseh in the Gemara similar to that. Rab Zeira fasted 100 days that Rabbi Elazar ben Pedoy should be alive. Why? Pedoy should be alive because he shouldn't have to become the leader of Klal Yisrael. That means as long as Rabbi Elazar ben Pedoy is alive, then Rab Zeira is not necessary. He can sit in yeshiva. But as soon as Rabbi Elazar ben Pedoy is nifter, all of a sudden Rab Zeira has to leave yeshiva and become the Gadol HaDor. So obviously, can he change in that 1 minute? That's when it happens. Or a thing, or he's royal at all times. When they say one of pshatim that they want to say between that Moshe Kechama and Yeshua Kelevana, is one of them is pshat like this: Yeshua was always Yeshua. But as long as the Chama was there, the sun was there, you can't see the moon. That's why he wasn't Nikya. But as soon as they took away the sun, there was the moon. But he was always a moon. And therefore, since he's always a moon, he's always a leader. And that's what's expected from every person in Klal Yisrael. And another raya to this, very personal, like I spoke about Shegig before. One of the things, why is there a law of Shegig? How does the Torah put an oinish? And if you talk about oinishim, it's a korban is an oinish. It's not it's anything else, it's an oinish. And l'maisel gabi, if you come into kos, the kinyonim, you have to have yisurim yet for it. Even when you have tshuvit, it's not a poshet the maisel that you have. The Shegig is not an easy thing that a person didn't learn or forgot. How could the Torah do something that's unfair? And we know for a fact the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, "En Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'tchun Yabonav." The Rebbeinu doesn't make unfair demands from Klal Yisrael. So obviously, it's a fair demand. It's fair to demand a person at least by the age of 20. In time that goes on, Yud Gimel by Pashas on 20, because that's when he becomes a Baranshim from Shifa Shemayim. So at that point, he becomes in Mechuyev to know Kol HaTer Kule at every second on his mind, constantly, not to be Evan Aver. That's expected of every person in Klal Yisrael. And if it wasn't expected, eventually you can't give such an Aver. How's it possible to expect so much? We think about it till we finish one Gemara, Nem to Chazei Ful Yohan. How is it possible to do that? But obviously the Torah expects it. There's a Gemara Megillah from this that we see this clearly. Yagaiti v'limatzasi is altanin. Why shouldn't I believe him? He tried. He tried 5 times, 10 times. He can't get it. Altanin. Why shouldn't we believe him? So the Torah tells us from this passage, because the Rebbeinu Shlom says, I gave you a Torah, and if I gave you a Torah, it means you can keep it. It means obviously you're ready to be able to learn it. And if you're ready to be able to learn it, if you don't know it, then it's because you didn't try hard enough. What do you call trying hard? Of course, there's definitely different definitions of what's trying. The passions of trying is agitatzi nafshi. Doesn't mean like I went and I tried. It didn't work. That's not called trying. But the Gemara gives you a case of trying. And that's the Talmud of Rav Preda. He worked 400 times, he had to listen 400 times to be able to understand something. I understood that after 400 times he understood it very well. And it doesn't mean that he put on a tape recorder for him and repeated it 400 times, and Rav Preda just sat there like a mechanical machine and kept repeating it. He tried it from this angle, he tried it from this angle. He first started with the kasha, then he started with the teretz, and then he started with tuzdodim, and then whatever it is, until finally, after 400 times, it's finally sunk in that the kid knew it's klah. And the old kasha is, can you believe to find a child that can listen 400 times? Rebbe will talk about in a minute, but Rebbe, I don't know if he can say it 400 times. But what about the Talmud's listening 400 times? Can anybody, after doing something 4, 5, 6 times, say that I will try a 7th and an 8th, or he'll say, I'll never understand it, and he quits? So obviously he had some mother, some father, who taught him this Gemara Megillah, that your gaiti v'lematzosis al tamin means you have not yet tried hard enough. What is hard enough means 400 times. I hope that the relationship gave him siyata l'shmaya, that somewhere along the line he didn't need the 400 times. But I don't know if that was necessary. because as far as his schar goes, who knows how much. But as a maise, I don't know if, I said in the preface, I don't know 100% if there's emes in pshat in the Rambam. But a maise, with this angle, it may be pshat. Rambam brings down the seder, the mesoire. And he brings down achi ashiloni. Miyotzi mishat, mitzrayim hoya. And he was cotton hoya. And he was mekabel from David HaMelech. We're talking about over 400 years. This person was around Achiya Shiloni, who became one of the greatest Nevi'im that we ever had. Was around from Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. Does it make a difference? He was a cotton. He was before Bar Mitzvah, after Bar Mitzvah. I mean, if he was 38 years old, he's over 400 now anyway. What difference does it make? But he wanted to tell you that, you know what, Bizyonis he must have had, if you want to call it Bizyonis, I don't know if it's Bizyonis. He sat through Shmuel HaNavi, who was died at 52. He sat through Evi HaKoyin, which was 98 years old, and Shmuel, and then David HaMelech, who was 70 when he died. All of these things, all young kids as far as he's concerned. And he sat as a Talmud by them, and he worked. That's Pshat, he was a cotton. And Nikat Azagutikop. He had to work a lot harder than other people. But you know, some people, the reason they don't work hard is because they make a cheshvin. They say, you know, what can I learn past at the end of the day? One halacha. By the time I learn one halacha, my friend already learned 15. By tomorrow, he's going to have 30. I'm going to have 2. And by the time I'm 70, what will I have? So what's the point of learning? That person can live 400 years, and he still won't know anything. And then there's the one who says, what difference does it make? The Benshin gave me the keches to understand one halacha. That's what I have to understand, the one halacha. So he works on the one halacha, and he works on the two halacha. And you're right, after 70 years, he does not yet know kol ha-teicha kula. But l'maise, the Rav Enshin can give you 400 years to live, and he can give you 500 years to live. And it could be possible, on the other hand, the grace of genius and everything else, he got a guarantee he's going to live 70 years or 80 years. And what happens if he gets hit by a truck when he's 25? Blessed with Zion, they'll say, oh, what a thing there. If he would have known, he wouldn't have learned. What's one thing I do with the other? What's my chiv right now? And you know what it says, Kina Seif and Tal B'Chochmeh. You know, once you make jealousy among Talmidim, you're going to get more knowledge. I get Yish Adas. If I take a look at Yenim and Ekin Gan Shaz and I know nothing, I give up. What kind of Yish Adas? But again, this Gemara. We're not saying you can learn as well as the other person or going to know as much as the other person. You can't. You haven't got the kishrin he has. You haven't got the memory he has. But what you do have is that guarantee that if he can understand it, you can understand it. It may take you 400 times. But ultimately, you can understand it. There is no part of Torah that's understandable that you can't understand. There is no Shver Reb Chaim that the dumbest kid in the class can't understand. He won't have it maybe in the same day the other person has it. He may have to work and nudge other guys until he gets it. But l'maisa, he's going to get it if he works hard enough. But he has to have that confidence that he can do it. That's as far as the chiyuv goes. Then there's a point simply to talk to him business about he himself. One thing is that every child, we believe it, and everyone says, has a chelik in Teire. That's true. Do you know why everyone has a chelik in Teire? Because the Gemara says there are no two people that think alike. It says just as their physical forms are different, so are their mental ability different. There are no two people that think alike. The trouble with chavrusas generally is one doesn't listen to the other one. When the other had a skut esvore and the other one thinks he doesn't understand it, it's a bitl. But if they understand that my mind doesn't work like your mind, like the Ra'ah doesn't work like the Rajba, and the Rajba doesn't work like the Ra'ah, if you can understand that there are two different ways, or the Balamoya and the Ramban, it means that they're different, Lamy's different, completely different ways of approaching something. Lamaisa, yet each one is clear and holds its way through Kol HaTorah Kula. It's possible every person, because he has that difference of thought, will see something that somebody else has not seen. That's the point. And if that person doesn't develop, that Talmud doesn't develop, that Chiddush in Teira is going to be lost. Everyone has that ability to add something to Teira. So he has to know what he has, that he can add something, that Kol HaDot, all the whole world can have a Noyah from. And then simply, to take him to show him that he's not really that dumb. Most kids can't remember the shiur from yesterday to tomorrow. Can't. It's getting it down. I used to say this sometimes when I come to speak for kids. I ask him, I said, you know, how many sports fans? Usually that's how I start. How many sports fans do you have? Okay. In case they get a big raise of hands on that. So I pick one or two and I ask him, who won yesterday? Give me the winners from all the sports. You know, first of all, I ask him, how many sports he has shaykhs with. And you find usually have four or five different sports. And I can tell you all the scores. And I ask him, do you know who scored the most points and everything there? And he's talking about Nachmer. So I said, you know, but you have a fantastic memory you have. What you must have sat down, I mean, judging from what, you know, I see you got 50s and 60s. So obviously, you must have sat down before you came to school, you got the newspaper, and sat down at least for an hour, and you chazert. The Yankees beat the 10-4, and this was this, and there was three hits by this one and this. Mamish duch you chazert, and then make sure I don't forget it. Nah, I just took a look at it, and I knew it right away. So how come you can't remember this year? How come you can't remember your classwork? Obviously, you're not stupid. You're not dumb. You can remember all this in one shot. When we talk about memory, what Chazal talks about over there, initiata d'shmaya, that's above the normal memory. We're not talking about that memory. We're talking about right now about normal, everyday memory. There is not a storekeeper, not a businessman that believes or has an interest in anything that he has that doesn't know all his stock. There's not, if you go into the, now they have scanners, but when I usually go into the supermarket, I used to have the little Medelach, 15, 16 years old, manning the cash registers, and how many products did he have in the store? And during the time when inflation was going crazy, and the store prices changed every day, how many times did you have one ask the other one, what's the code on this one? What's the name? What was the price on this one? How do they know? They're 15, 16 years old. It's only a part-time job. How are they supposed to know all of this stuff? Because their job depends on it. Because their job depends on it, they know it. It's important to them. They know it. So really, it has nothing to do with their ability. They all have the ability. The only thing is importance. We have to make Torah important to them. And in Emerson, that was the chiv that was given to us when we became tatas. You're supposed to teach the kid the first words you're supposed to teach before Shema Yisrael, before Mesirat Nefesh. You're supposed to teach him Torah Tzivul on a Moshe, Merosha Kehilas Yaakov. And it's interesting, you'll take a look, no printer was Mekatzel, that pasuk, whenever it's quoted in the Gemara, except when it dashes in the word Merosha. Because the whole pasuk has to be taught. It don't stop at Torah Tzivul on a Moshe. That's not enough. That's not the point of the pasuk. The point of the pasuk Rashi touches up, the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. It's not his Torah. It's our Torah from Yankif Avinu. He only gave it to us. But it's ours. And you know the difference between a Merosh and Yerusha? I don't know if you're going to know the actual big duk in the thing. But Pashat, I already have it. I don't have to go out and get it. All I have to do is activate my Rotz. Then I have it. Now, Shiva used to say, he used to speak sometimes about high school kids. He would give him a mushroom. He said, you know, every collar usually gets, most collars get, every collar, usually gets silver leichter for a wedding present from the Babe, from the Shviger, from somebody. Why? And our whole furnishing, I guess, in the dining room or the living room or the china closet centers around this on the leichter. Why? Because it's become so important that this is the focal point of your life. That luck is haneiras, this mitzvah the women took for themselves. It's something that they made it choshev and so on. But, you know, with all this, people forget to light sometimes. Simple, they go very fast. Hadlokeh, whatever it is, they're always late and so on. True. Why? Because I don't think silver is that important anymore to us, but it does have shivas. I mean, obviously, it's still the focal point of the whole house. Well, she used to say, what happens if we'll discover some antique dealer will come along with a pair of leichter. They could even be brass, they could even be copper. They don't look as fancy. And they tell you, these leichter were more Soro Imenu's leichter that the Torah talks about. And I'm giving it to you. What kavanas will that woman now put in every time she lights candles? What things will she be mispallowed for at that time because the chshivus of I'm lighting Sori Menu's leichter. And the same thing applies when we talk, it's not your Torah, it's not a new Torah, it's Yankif Avinu's Torah that was passed on to you from dur to dur. You know how many hundreds of people it took for you to get that Torah, how many Mesiras Nefesh it took for you to get that Torah. That's what we pass on to the child, and that's what we want him to understand and to realize that this is the Torah, this is what it's all about. And we have to be machshiv. A second thing that's very important is that he tells it, there's a difference between the Pasha Rishon and the Pasha Shniyah of Krishma. One, it says, V'dibautabam. That's the first Pasha. Now, that we're chayiv to talking about in Torah. And Rashi says, not only talk about in Torah, we're supposed to make an ikel, that the majority of my talk is in Torah. So the kasha always becomes, what do you mean the majority of talk is in Torah? The majority of talk in Torah, that's very good for yeshiva bacha. What about somebody that's a businessman? How is he going to put the majority of talk in Torah? What about little kids? How are they going to put the majority of talk in Torah? And then it says, because you should be marit noisim's medechem in the parashah of Hoya, lida b'abam. Teach it to your children. I think the only one I thought sort of, that ties it pretty much right is art school. Teach it to your children to talk in Torah. It's not enough to teach it to your children. You have to teach them how to talk in Torah. Make it important to them. And I give this much a lot of times. We take your kid for the Chol HaMoed trip to the zoo. Now it's Baruch Hashem, it's an upcoming-ish, and you just hope you had to get it over with and whatever it is. And you take the kid, and you take the little kids, 2 years old, 3 years old, whatever it is, 4 years old, 5 years old, doesn't make a difference on the age, because you'll see what we talk about. It becomes an annual trip with Gresi Chochmin. You can take it the first time around, you say, look at a lion, oh, big, fierce animal. Good. First of all, the animal's probably sleeping there. It looks like he's dreaming half the time. They don't feel the ferociousness of it. Maybe the only thing they have are the seal and maybe the monkeys. That's about the only thing you really can get something out of them. But past that, you don't really have too much that they really get impressed on. So the rounds around the zoo is 10 minutes and you're out. One time I did my trip, it took me an hour to get there, an hour to park, and an hour to what he called. So I'm in Baruch Hashem, up Kikum, and I'm happy. Come to the zoo, and the first thing you take a look at is you say, you see there's animals that have horns and animals that don't have horns. You know there's a Gemara that says that animals that have horns are kosher. You don't have to check even the Siman, but we'll go check on it anyway. Right, you see a rhinoceros, you don't look kosher. Rhinoceros is obviously not a horn. And if you see that giraffe, he has those little two things. Are they horns? Yeah, they're horns. So you can go around talking about the wonder about different countries they come from. You see, there's real cold countries and real hot countries they come from, mountainous countries, valley countries, and so on. And the thing that you see, a Jew can be goalless for a lot of places. Ben Beishim always made food for them. It doesn't make a difference. Abumavit gain is found on Esavav. The thing that it comes into the petting zoo, and you see the llamas and you see the goats, right? And you take the child and you pick up the feet and you say, look, I want to show you something. You have the llama, he chooses cud. The goat, he chooses cud. But yet one is kosher, one isn't kosher. But they both look like they have split hoofs. Yeah, but there's a difference. One has it all the way through. You'll have to pick up the foot and make sure maybe the guard doesn't see you. Basically, and you pick up the llama's foot and you see your front it's split, but in the back it's not split. It doesn't come out in the finger. And all of a sudden you see it's not kosher. You then talk about the base. When he gets older, you can talk about why the base HaMikdash is in Gemoshel Nochten, the lion. The lion has the mane, and it goes down. The Kotche Gedoshim goes down. And then you can ask Akasha, why not the bison? Because the bison also has the same thing. And whatever it is. You can talk. There is so much to talk about. Then you go in the thing there, all according to the different age levels that you have. That push it, it's a list. You can look at the Gans Chum in the zoo. And there's nothing wrong with it, because basically that's what you talk about. I remember as kids, when we used to talk about, there's a lot of times that people keep correcting me if Hank Greenberg did or did not play on I heard both versions in the World Series, in, I think in 38. I don't remember, but it doesn't make a difference. I didn't remember that time, but anyway. But whatever it was, it was a question that Yom Kippur, it was a question, wasn't a lot of play. Yom Kippur Jägerhalten for, he did play. Kofax, I think, didn't play. Whatever it is. But the idea is we used to talk about what's wrong. What happens if he hits a home run, right? So where's he going to go? It's going to go into the stands. So he's going for Shiza Yochid, Shiza Yochid. And the main Shiza, what happens if he hits it into Ebbets Field? He's in Ebbets Field, he hits it over the fence into flat the Shevin. So the Chayyid asks for Shiza Yochid, Shiza Rabbit. But the Shaila is, now is that called Miskaven? Because he wanted to hit a home run, but you can't guarantee that he'll hit a home run. So is that considered Miskaven? Is that Miskaven? You can play a cup all day long on all these things, because everything has an approach to Tehran. The same thing applies to every business deal that you have and everything else. How things should be looked at, how things shouldn't be looked at. And that's how it's possible to make the Rav Diburim B'Tere. In other words, you're right, we're going to talk about Bitulim. I'm not talking that you're not going to change your kid around against the whole society and get him to stop talking about these things. But Lemaisa, there's enough things to talk about and to bring everything to appreciate everything as Tere. When he reads a newspaper, does a Yid think this way or doesn't a Yid think this way? What this news, is this the Derech HaTere or not the Derech HaTere? You see other, when you see the story, is it Maisa's Doima, not Maisa's Doima, adjust the story, whatever it is there, that you see different hanhogis that are going on in the world. So you talk about it, you keep up your values by reading the shtusim. But if you only read the shtusim and don't talk about any of these values, so they take hold of you, and that's the only thing you hear, and they're the ashpoya on you, and you don't have any terekin egedit. And you're not going to keep the kids away from the newspapers. So therefore it's important that they see how to analyze and look at things and to keep doing it and to see the Teres Emes all the time. Now, there's also one of the main things was the Indian of not having Shmorim in the oil. That's one of the Shemizayizach, which is again, Hashim used to always say, depends how you present the Kash in the Teretz. The idea of Shmorim, that something not having Shmorim, but cleaning it out later, is sometimes you can't clean it out so good. If you put away, sometimes you want to present the kashin class. I have good moral kashin. Moral kashin in class, it doesn't really make much difference. Because Nick and Abel, if he thinks the grace of kashin or not. But if you keep saying, if there's a kashin, whatever you say, there's a shvera kite, there's nothing you do about it. And he builds up the kashin to such a degree and then gives a teretz. And maybe the Rebbe was convinced of the teretz, but the Talmud isn't convinced of the teretz. So somehow, the kashin is better than the teretz. No, you didn't slug up my kashin. If you do it the other way by saying, and this teretz and the teretz, this kashin, this kashin, this kashin, all of a sudden the kashin was never that hard. And so on. I say, in Teire itself, it doesn't make much difference because it does have, if you have a good kashin, and so on. In Ashkofis, it's a very big, important thing. And sometimes people, the Beim, don't think through the consequences of their maises. I'm not going to go into a personal maises that happened, but for instance, there's a medrash that you can teach this, that some Beim feel they must teach it to children. And so the medrash that the Yoina took the Alizayis and said to Noach that I'd rather have bitter from my hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than to have sweet from the hands of us of the God. And this answer was given, it's brought down in the Mamloes, when everyone can, as is one of the reasons how Noach knew that the Mabul stopped. And I've known as a kid, six-year-old kid, turn around and say, that's not nice. Now, that's very good, because the kid knew the emes. That it's not nice if we don't understand pshat. Do I have a shvera medrash? I don't turn around and say, you see from this medrash, that you're allowed to be not nice. We didn't say, if I kecht, I want to be a rotten person. I don't want to be makir toif to anybody. And I'll bring you a raya from this medrash that I don't have to be. That's a terrible thing. When you're dealing with six-year-olds, you don't know how the kid's going to take it. You don't know how strong his background is in the concept of hakoras hatoiv. He has not yet learned the ma'aseh of Moshe Rabbeinu that he wasn't allowed to hit. Not that he wasn't allowed to. The Rebbeinu gave him the tzivah. That Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hit the water or the earth in Mitzrayim. Because it was not a HaKoras HaTov on his part, I will stop the Mashiach Hashem, so they'll get another Mashiach Hashem. I can't do it. Again, I'm not telling you that pshat either. I'm just saying, without Hashem, but you have to understand that too. The concept of HaKoras HaTov is tremendous. There's another medrash that's going around already. This is for high school kids. For the Indian, it's a point of showing somehow, more stories, more medrash, more whatever it is, but they're poison. In a sense, one of them was the Maise with Osnas Bas Petifer. that she was thrown out of the house by the Yankee Favino, by the Shvatim, it's by different deal system and the thing. You can take a look in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. So obviously, whatever pshat it is, of Lamaisi, she's thrown out because of it. First of all, you throw out Dina, you don't throw out Osnas. I mean, what's Osnas' fault? Abba Lamaisa, whatever it is, there are different Nidroshim Kinegedit. There's a medrash that Shimon married Dina in order to make her not feel unwanted in the house. Claim whatever it is, if you want to talk about how does a family treat someone, such an instance, if there was a rape involved and there was a child born, you have Mori Barochel in the Gemara, which is brought down that he was that even when Rochel married Issi Giyure, who happened to be the guy that did it to her even, and the stuff, he was a friend of Rovis, and he was a friend of what do you call it? So it's not a push of the Maise that I don't care what happened to you, and it's excusable, it doesn't make a difference. But you find the person to want to justify anger and hate himself. You don't. You did something happened wrong to you. Out. No. Rachmanis. No kids. We're not interested, and so on. What's the point of these midrashim? I mean, obviously, the Torah. I'm not chas v'chalila. Have yet the medrash muzim pashtena. I'm not chas v'chalila criticizing medrash, but it depends. You have to explain it. These midrashim have to have things. And first of all, you have to have a teretz for them. You may not even understand it yourself. So what are you teaching it to anybody? First, you have to understand that you have to know the dangers that are involved by putting in these different conflicting things to the dinim that exist in the Anhogis and the Musa the Gadol that we are knowing that a Yid has to follow. Then you can bring in these things. I mean, metalitz them and shoma. But if you bring it in, a grace is after the kashi becomes so great, and you start answering, you'll start telling, yeah, that's the story. We know the root truth. I remember a guy who used to scream at people in the middle of davening and push it till physically assaulted them for talking. And you're not allowed to talk in davening. But obviously, the tumult that he did in the thing, they made a greater tumult than ever was in the shul. And he did justify himself by I'm Pinchas. That's what he used to say, I'm Pinchas. Chas v'chavu. Pinchas never was like that. He killed her. You have to understand how he did it and what he did it. But Pinchas was not that. Patience and commitment, those are the rikya. You find, Taki, that Afreide didn't get any special schar for doing this tog teglach. One time it says he got schar. Fantastic schar. What was the schar when the time happened? This Talmud, it took 400 times to understand something. So one time, he thought the Rebbe had to go away. And maybe probably the Rebbe did have to go away. And he thought the Rebbe would live at any minute. And because of that, he wasn't able to concentrate. He was afraid he wouldn't understand the Shia that day. And he couldn't concentrate. And the 400 times ended, and he still didn't know it. And I prayed to ask him, what happened? How come you don't understand it today? He told me, I thought you were going to go away in the middle, and I'm not going to understand it. So I couldn't concentrate. So he sat back, he started again, and taught him a second 400 times. And for those second 400 times, he lived 400 years, he got 400 pots of gold, and the whole generation got Olam Haba. But yet, for all the things that he did every single day, there was no schar for that. Obviously, there is, ultimately. And obviously, the schar will be commiserate to this thing. But this was a schar he gave him, Olam Hazeh. This was extra that he didn't have to do. Rebbe, why didn't he have to do? Because he did his 400 times already. He put in his effort. If the Talmud would have been attentive, he would have known it. Taka, maybe he patters the Rebbe at that time. But the fact that he didn't want to be potter, and he did it again, that gave him the extra schar. You go with this type of method, it doesn't make a difference how far the kid comes from Teva or not. The ikar is that you treat him as a person who can steig. As a person, what do you call, I'm not going to say, years ago he used to put everybody in the class that the smallest class, like Rabbi Akiva also went in the anger and with plenty of kinder. You do it now, people start screaming that it's, what do you call it? Depends on the rotzen of obviously the person that's coming to learn, and so on. I'll tell you a few interesting maises that we've had, and I think successes in this type of a thing. One is we had a kid that came, he went to Tottenville High. He was in the 99th percentile of in math and science, and he was one of the kids that was, his advice was sought in the creating of regents. He happened to come in once to daven for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. His father walked 4 miles to the yeshiva, and obviously something, the davening took hold a little bit, and he used to come every day. When finished 3 o'clock, he used to come every day and learn till 10 o'clock at night. chavrusis, and so on. When he reached Pesach time, this was from Rosh Hashanah on, reached Pesach time, he quit Tatan Vilhai. He didn't finish. I mean, he finished by us, obviously, but it's in a diamond, all the, he had a stack of scholarships and whatever it is that you can believe. He came, he went into the ninth grade in the Lumudei Kodesh. And he sat through, and the Kivan came Zoyin to him. He was treated, obviously, as an equal in the yeshiva. Everyone chabed him because of the keches that he put away. But not as, you know, as anything special in the sense that he feels out of the ordinary and funny about it, because in that case also he's one of the Tamidim of the yeshiva. And that's it. Had another one. Baruch Hashem, he's still there. Another one that came just as a weekend. His brother was going to the yeshiva. His brother came from Ersameach, and he came to the yeshiva. And he wanted, and he was a Mechal Shabbos, whatever it is there. And he wanted, you know, the one brother by us, that was by us, wanted this brother to have a taste of the yeshiva. He begged him to come for a Shabbos to the yeshiva. He is, I want to give you a marshal, he was the vice president of the student senate in Chicago University. He was the Gor Shuvim. But obviously he had some serious bend to him, obviously. And he couldn't, whatever it is, he came to Shabbos, and he made up, he told me, I saw him, I saw this now, he told me that when he came to the yeshiva, he had so many backup plans that he's sure he's going to run away from this as soon as he walks into the place, because there's a bunch of Mishugoyim here, you know, and he doesn't believe, but whatever it is there, but his brother begged him, he's going to give it a chance, he's going to come in. Nobody checked him, he came in, he died, and the guys talked to him, treated him as a mensch, whatever it is there. He left, he didn't come, he stayed 2 extra days. He came back first in midterm vacations, whatever it is, until this started somewhere in the middle of the winter last year. By the summertime, he's going to Eretz Yisrael, to Hasameach, to learn. So he came to Hasameach, and unfortunately, they put him into the preparatory program, and he didn't find it. He said, well, guys, it's not as tight. There's still Shabbos there. There's a lot of things. He couldn't take it. I mean, he put it to me, he said, he's the first black hat Baal Tshuva, first yeshiva Baal Tshuva to come there. You know, he was a yeshiva man to start with. Understand? You know, it's basically, he knew basically, Hanhoged Avzani, he doesn't want to see the thing. He's not going to disco. He's not going to, it's just not for him. He wanted to go into the Beis Medrash program. So God, in the time that he was by us, with the Mavei Gezetz, there's a Tanlam. The Matzal Shil asked him, "There, you know, how long are you learning?" He quit. He went to a different yeshiva. Didn't work out from there either. So he came back. He said, "How long are you learning?" He says, "Counting today." She says, "Counting today." She says, 3.5 months. She says, 3.5 months. Guy can't come into the list managed program. He says, "Test me." So he tested him. He got 19 out of 20 kashas that he asked him. Then he gave him a sugya on. I need him Zayman to make a blaming on. He went into the Beis Medrash program. Why? Because he wanted. We didn't put him down in any niches. You have to go start here. There it is. No. I don't know if you saw the Observer, but we just had 2 kids from Tbilisi. They came into the yeshiva. It's approximately 3 weeks. I don't even know if it's 3 weeks yet. We intend to put him into the ninth grade before the end of the year. And we requested another 3 from Tbilisi if they're the same students. Most places put them into a program and they stay in that program. You can't stay, keep people in program. You have to make open to them Torah. You have to make them that you are just like anybody else. Of course, you started a lot a couple of years late. You started 15 years late. You're right. So what? You're more mature. You have an ability to progress a lot faster. And Enochinami, it'll come time. Your mental capability is good. You'll put in. You're not going to understand everything. You're not going to have the background aces that you're going to have. You're going to have help from other people to help you. But you're not an outcast. Not beyond you. It's not that pshat. You're a separate program. You don't belong to the yeshiva. You're part of the yeshiva. And once you're part of the yeshiva, then all of a sudden you have no idea how these kids can blossom. And the thing that is nothing holding them back, because they know they're part of the yeshiva. And the yeshiva is the same rules. They're masmidim. Mamish, they're up to 12 o'clock at night, and you got to kick them into bed because they refuse to go, and there's no parents to even yell at them because they're no one there, so we have to, you can't find them either, you know, you've got to give them a knas if somebody doesn't this, you can't go, so you have to talk to them with guttons, and whatever it is there, and so on. But lemaisa, you're fighting the rotzen for them. Okay. And just so one thing that eights is that I'm going to end off. It's late already. Some of the eights is that we use in the yeshiva itself when we started the yeshiva. You know, the yeshiva is not the same yeshiva it was when we first started. I'm not talking about the quality wise. Your student body is not the same. There's no yeshiva student body that's the same as it was 25 years ago. When we started the yeshiva, the biggest fight we had was with kids wanting to go to college. We had to figure out, drochim, how are we going to convince them that Teres Choshev there? That was our problem then. You know what our problem is now? Our problem is now is to get the kid to go to English because the parents don't want, he doesn't want, and he thinks it's Shkoyish or whatever it is. How do you do that? And should we do that? And so on. So I'm not going to go in. So obviously anyone tells you that you're the same yeshiva, if you remain with the same ideas and the same things you did 25 years ago, you're not solving the problem, you're not approaching the Talmidim. Each year, I think I made a cheshbon, it's about approximately, probably under 5 years, that there's a change of attitude that has to be to the Talmidim. There are different types of Talmidim coming, whether right now you'll find them more learned, but less balimidis. Because in the Mesiras Nefesh that came, that a bochur came and came to learn Torah, they had the midas because of Mesiras Nefesh to come to learn Torah. Well, now you don't have any Mesiras Nefesh. Now this is the course of actions. Everybody does it. And the Mela, they come with them, all the midas roys that come with that. And you have to fight those points. Baruch Hashem, you don't have the problem of making them learn. You have that, Mela, and so on. But I remember when we first started the yeshiva, the question was, because you're getting from many younger Yochan, what was the hardest Seder that a person had? That was the second Seder. It was very hard. The morning keches already burnt out. The second keches didn't come in yet. You were dead in the afternoon. And guys would always come late. And whatever it is, there was nothing. How do we activate the second Seder? And we said, that wasn't a simple thing. We hired a Rebbe. First of all, we made it a very short Seder. We made the full storm short so a guy shouldn't get tired. Because we have a lot of time to learn at that time. And you don't learn because I only have to prepare for the shiur. Now, how much time did it prepare for the shiur? Two and a half hours. And I gave me 3 hours, 3.5 hours, or 4 hours to prepare for the shiur. So an hour and a half, I can sit around doing nothing. So obviously, we made people that they don't have time doing nothing because you're not going to have enough time to prepare the shiur if you do that. So we made it, the first Seder used to end at 1 o'clock in those times. Now it's not like that anymore. That time it was 1 o'clock. Now, it's still in a way, it's 1:15, 1:15, 2, depending on this and that. But that time, everybody was 1 o'clock. So the shiur was an hour and 15 minutes. So you really only had, and the shiur started because you had the halacha seder, whatever it is, it started at 9:30 approximately. So you really only have about 2.5 hours, 2.75 hours. That's all you had. After lunch, which is only half, 45 minutes, you would have chazora to minchat. We made minchat 5 to 3, which went to 10 after 3, which goes for the English, and so on. The base medrash would then get a second seder at 10 after 3. 10 after 3, they'd have to prepare for a shiur from 5:30 to 6:30. So that doesn't give them 2 hours and 20 minutes. Doesn't give them that long to prepare. So they have no time to goof off, because if they want to hear the shiur, they're going to have to work. Unless they can particularly say, look, I'm not interested in the shiur, and so on, that obviously then they'd have to answer that and hold it. But as far as the normal thing, they were not on their own. Therefore, of course, we did this shiur to make it in the last year high school and the first year Beis Medrash. In other words, the time when the changing over from having that, in a way, the relaxed afternoon, because the afternoon, the English, is a relaxing time. It's not the same intensity that you have during this dorim. So the Mela, because of that, it's a relaxed time. Now, all of a sudden, you're demanding them the same intensity that they had the whole day. And all of a sudden, they find that very difficult to do. So if we gave them this force of the Seder, of the shiur, and so on, these two things made them pass through these 2 years until they became asmidim on their own. And Baruch Hashem, that's how they started. Later on, this problem didn't exist. So therefore, they requested the longest storm. And so on. We gave into that. But again, watching all of a sudden these things, we had to teach. Now, all of a sudden, let's say, I'll give you a show how we did English and an innovation that was starting, we started now, which is something I think people may have, so far we've heard from parents to take a little bit the wrong idea and so on, but I want to explain something about it. I'm not going in whether we should have English or not have English. We have English basically because of Dina Malchusa. And we're not getting involved to do nothing, can I get Dina Malchusa and so on. The idea is now if I'm going to give English, to get the best keches out of it and do the best thing. So in the early years when we were able to, we're not able to get only B'nai Torah for teachers and so on, so basically, what we would throw in is use some of the courses of English to teach Torah. For instance, art became a Safos course. music became a pirush hamilos of tefillah and nigun and nusach tefillah and so on. These are things that we had guys teaching you. Abel, you still have a lot of things that are not the ikazah. And as I say now, we've had the problem. A lot of kids don't want to go. They don't want to go. How do you give them an incentive? The parents don't care. They don't care. And as I say, if it would be pshat that we could be mevatlit, we mevatlit. On the other hand, I'm not going to say you can go and you can't go because some yeshivas have done that, but because I'm afraid that what usually happens in such a thing, this one is the frumer and this one is the freier. Because this one wants to go to English and you shouldn't want to go to English. You shouldn't be frum. You should be frum. So mainly you have a conflict already that you are frum and freier, and I don't want such a conflict. I want everyone to be machshiv everyone else for what he does. So therefore it becomes rules of the yeshiva. They do it. They have to do it. There's no excuse not to do it. It becomes rules of the yeshiva. So if anyone's to blame, it's us. Another thing we found, that in innocent in a way, English is an important thing. Why? Because if someone is not ready to learn yet, 8, 10, and a lot of the yeshivas that don't have English have a 2.5 hour lunch break, have a 2 hour supper break. That's bittel teva. That's not teaching anything. This way they have a half hour. We have only, from our lunch is 45 minutes, and a supper is an hour and 15 minutes, and so on. Because that way, they have no time to battle. They're learning that every minute has to count. You have to go to English, you have to go to English. So maybe that gives them an easier learning. It relaxes them. They're able to save harder things when the time comes. But the Mason now, all of a sudden, they say it's bittle because the kids are not learning the English either. They're not learning the English. It becomes a learned. So all the other midas rois that you have, if you guys going doing something that they don't want to do, so what are you going to do about it? So we gave an incentive system. If a kid gets over 80 in every subject, he has a right to take a course on his own, an Regents course, and he can, if he passes it, fine. If he doesn't, he'll have to go to class. So he already has a reason to pay attention when he's in class. Now another problem arose. We did that. Now the kids all of a sudden say, because if you're a serious Talmud, English is a breeze. So all of a sudden, they say, I don't need all that time, especially subjects like history and English. They don't really need all that time. So therefore, we don't need the same thing. Math and science, okay, that's actually, you can't do on their own. But the other thing is a question mainly of reading, so they don't need it. All right, but we don't want you to battle. We're not going to give you off. We're going to go on base medrash, I don't trust you. We'll give a Pekiyas Seder, so we have two Sedzel, in Tesvis. You'll go to English 3 times in like 2 double sessions, and you go to English, and thus it leaves you 2 free periods during the day. You have Tesvisin, and the ones who can't take the Tesvisin and the Bekiyas, they've got to do another Masechta that they'll learn. So that's the 2 programs that we have, one for the 10th grade, one for the 11th grade. 9th grade goes a full regular English program. They have to earn it in the 9th grade. So therefore, we have an established incentive. They don't become chutzpah, they do the English. At the same time, we got a Ben Terech, one of our younger light, to teach the English. And it's to teach him not only pshat, that English is a course, I say, is required by the course. Abba Faran, well, he brought down Rabbi Ruchim's, that when you write a letter to your friend, there's an Indian of writing, that has to be something nor. It's a nice thing. You don't just patch you up there and the thing, their thing. If you machash of your friend, you have to go and address them properly. You address them properly means you're nice, a nice piece of paper. You write the thing there. You write it in clear English. You have to come out and make a droshe because you're going to have to go out and become a teacher in Klal Yisrael. How do you know you're going to teach only people who speak Yiddish? How do you know you're going to speak only people that speak Yeshivish? Maybe you're going to have to go out there and speak to people that have that are not going to give you covet unless you can approach them the right way. So all of a sudden, Teirin now took on, the English is now taking on a little bit of a different angle, except with one problem. I can't give them literature to write. I can't give them stuff that they have no interest. First of all, a lot of attack is schmutz. And secondly, what do you call this? We have a problem. So one of the projects that are done, we take the Tadmem, whatever it is, and it's given as a program, as a thing, read it, and correct the English. And then in the story that's brought out, give your interpretation why he felt that this, whatever personality that it's about, did the things that he thought he should do about. In other words, obviously, now they're talking about things that are negeya to them, things that they are interested in, because these are things that are musadik at the heaven or whatever it is. They have to give values, their own understanding to the values, not just on what the Rebbe said. They have to put it down on paper, which you never have a chance to do. Why? Because you have more important things to learn. And it is more important. You can't learn these things in that time. But if it's in English time, Then all of a sudden, then they feel they're using their English time for good things. They're better than what it was. It's not the best, maybe, but they have that hunger, and they're always hungry. So when you finally let them out, they go to that Akamore, but out there, like Mamish, is that they couldn't wait for it anymore. This way, you keep them hungry. It's very important. Hunger is important, that a kid should always be hungry for Teira. Once you satisfy him, unfortunately, then it becomes too easy. And that's the Madrege that we work on. I think this takes a lot of consideration constantly, because we're always trying to think, how do you make the better boy better? It's not only how do you make, and then also, as I say, how do you get the average boy to produce according to his keches? And how does each one respect the other one? All of these things on the geya, to turning the yeshiva into understanding a class, whatever it is. Halavai taki, that this would take. And as I say, look, I can't give you all eitzes. Every situation is different. The only thing is that if we know our achrayis, that our achrayis to the Talmud is, Ad shashal habis oylem eileho, that is our achrayis, then we'll find the eitzes ourselves for each individual Talmud, because we know what's involved and what's our involvement with this Talmud is. And that will bring it to attack and make this into a derdeya that will be able to be a skilled tzedek meir.